Again, the Jews are being blamed for everything, and the world is lining up to divide the land and acknowledge the nation of Palestine. What on earth is going on? We will talk about it.
And I can just sort of picture the scene in a lamp-lit room with a bunch of guys sitting around eating hummus, thinking about what do we do about this guy telling the truth about us? We must make him stop talking! And there's always one guy with the bright idea, and I can just hear him say, I've got an idea, why don't we just kill him?
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, the ministry founded by Jan Markell. In our program, Pastor Josh and Ken talk to Trevor Rubenstein of Chosen People Ministries and Pastor Aaron Broughton of Victory Baptist Church, Maple Grove, Minnesota. The Jews are again the scapegoats. What must the church do?
So it's about 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, and Jesus shows up and he starts talking about the people in power, and he starts doing the worst thing that you can do, which is telling the truth about people, and they hate it, and they just go bonkers. They hate it, and they become obsessed with making him stop. This guy's got to stop talking. We've got to shut this guy up. And I can just sort of picture the scene in a lamp-lit room with a bunch of guys sitting around eating hummus, thinking about what do we do about this guy telling the truth about us? We must make him stop talking! And there's always one guy with the bright idea, and I could just hear him say, I've got an idea, why don't we just kill him?
He was an extraordinary friend. He said, he wrote me a letter on May 2nd this year. He said, one of my greatest joys as a Christian is advocating for Israel and forming alliances to defend Judeo-Christian civilization. A few weeks before the tragedy yesterday, I called him and I spoke to him and I said, please come to Israel. I invited him to Israel. And sadly, that visit will not take place. But he was a defender of our common Judeo-Christian civilization. He was unbelievably excited to walk in the footsteps of Jesus here. He valued our bond, the bond between America and Israel.
That letter he is holding up, he is severely misrepresenting. Those sentences are real, but I am calling upon Bibi Netanyahu, the dear friend to Charlie Kirk, to publish the letter's entire contents. Like, don't start with just two sentences. Publish the entire thing. You're holding it. I'm saying you're severely misrepresenting the contents, that in May, Charlie was concerned about Israel and their influence on American politics and how they were pushing things that he felt were in conflict with his beliefs, free speech.
Welcome to Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with my co-host, Pastor Josh Schwartz. And today we are privileged to have two special guests with us, Trevor Rubenstein from Chosen People Ministries, and joining us for the first time from Victory Baptist Church is Pastor Aaron Broughton. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
It's always fun to be here.
Before we dive into our topic today, Trevor, give us a brief update on what you've been up to in your ministry.
I am the local representative of Chosen People Ministries. We're the oldest mission to the Jewish community in America. We share the gospel with Jewish people. We help serve the Jewish people. And God willing, we help the church turn away from the historic practices of anti-Semitism that have been so destructive to that cause.
And Pastor Aaron, this is your first visit. Thanks for joining us.
Shalom to everyone.
Tell our audience about what's going on right here. You're just down the street from where our office is.
I've been at Victory Baptist Church now for about 5 years. Our family's been involved in Jewish ministry around the world for over 25 years. We were in Israel for about 6 years, ministering in Tel Aviv. Just have a heart and desire to reach the Jews as well as Gentiles with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm very thankful for our church and having a heart for that.
So gentlemen, the information and misinformation that's going on about Israel, we heard in that clip, the comment that Tucker Carlson made was an inference to that Israel's responsible for the assassination of Charlie Kirk. What are your thoughts on what we're hearing out there right now?
Unfortunately, this is nothing new. Blaming the Jewish people for everything is a common practice throughout world history because God has a future hope and promise for these people. And so the enemy, of course, wants to eliminate them. Jesus is very clear about this in John chapter 10. Starting in verse 18, where he says, no one takes his life from him, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And actually in the book of Acts, Peter makes this very important comment in Acts chapter 4, verse 27, where he says, "For truly, against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hands and your purpose determined before it be done." Jesus gave his life for our sins, and Jesus died by the Jewish people and the Gentiles, by the Jewish leaders and the Gentile leaders, so he could die by everybody, for everybody. If Jesus didn't die because of your sins, then you're not forgiven.
You're absolutely right. Now, Aaron, was God caught off guard with the death of Charlie Kirk?
Absolutely not. God, who is sovereign, who is omniscient, he knows everything. He definitely knew his plan for Charlie Kirk and his life, and even the circumstances of how he died. It surprises us because we're not fortune tellers, but it has woken up the world. It's woken up churches. It's woken up people who are struggling maybe with what to do about God and even what to do with Israel and the Jewish people. And these words from Tucker Carlson, a lot of people kind of miss that, but those in Israel and even among Jewish believers, they picked up on that really quickly. I picked up on it. It was very distracting from really the greater message of Charlie Kirk's funeral.
And I think as you were talking there, we are seeing over the last number of years, these watershed moments in evangelicalism. So we had a watershed moment in 2020 with COVID and where the church was going to stand on how to deal with that. 2021, 2022, we have not only George Floyd, but you also have this movement of woke ideology and the LGBTQ plus movement. Then you've got 2023, another watershed moment of October 7th and what the church is going to do with Israel. And now we have the death of Charlie Kirk and the fallout thereof. And I think, again, we're seeing another watershed moment in where is the church going to land and how is the church going to respond to all of these things? Will they support Israel? Will they support the narrative? Or are they going to go crazy like a lot of somewhat conservative people are doing?
There's a movement that's developing that's sometimes referred to as the woke right. The idea is finding someone to blame for all your problems.
Yes.
So instead of looking to improve yourself or to get into a better spot, something that lines you up with the will of God and puts you into a place of succeeding and being a blessing to others, you just look for someone to blame for anything going wrong. This, of course, is going to inevitably be the Jewish people that are blamed for this. It's similar to even what we see within Marxism. Marxism teaches that there is this overlying controlling group that has everything. This is called the bourgeoisie, mm-hmm. and they have to be eliminated, and their power then has to be given to the masses. And so what we see in this woke right movement that people like Candace Owens or others are really participating in is they're saying the same thing. They're actually prescribing to Marxism. It's just they change bourgeoisie with the Jews.
Yes.
This, unfortunately, is the development. And unless we as the church want to become Marxist, we have to truly stand against this.
So, Pastor Aaron, following the assassination, did you notice a change in your church? In other words, did more people show up at church? Or what was the feedback from the people that attended your service?
Within the hour of the news breaking forth, I had several text messages from our own congregation. It was on a Wednesday, so we have a Wednesday prayer meeting, and we spent a significant amount of time discussing the issue, looking at it biblically. People talk about thoughts and prayers, how they're really worthless, but prayer is probably the greatest thing we can do. We have a great and mighty God, and we have the privilege of taking our burdens and giving it to the Lord, who is above all. And we look at the death of Charlie Kirk, it definitely affected our people. And yes, there was a lot of talking points. Some of our people went to different rallies to commemorate, and this is a great opportunity, especially for the church, to take advantage of the moment that God has given us and share the gospel.
Let me follow up on that, because we saw these watershed moments where people come to church. I think back to 9/11 when the churches were absolutely packed. And then about a month later, we were right back to normal. What's your advice to what's happening out there? What should we be doing as evangelists during this time when people are open to hearing the gospel?
Let me express something. It's a particular concern that we see developing. People, in order to look for what's truth, they're going to the internet and they're going to talking heads and people that often aren't theologically trained. This is a dangerous direction if you're looking to learn about God from people that don't necessarily know about God. People have to be in their Bibles. They have to read their Bibles. They have to study the Bible. They're being fed so much information. How do they know what truth is unless they have truth to compare the information to? So we see people turning away from actually knowing scripture and just wanting to listen to other people to tell them. This can be lazy, but also it's very important that people go to Bible-believing churches.
Absolutely. The Bible is a foundation for our faith, and everyone should, number one, be in the Word, but also be in a good church. Have a pastor that preaches the Word of God unashamedly, and also in light of the current conflicts, that is not afraid to address some of those issues and, again, point people to Jesus. But remember, let's go to the two commandments. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and might, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And the biggest struggle that Christians and really the world has is that people really don't know God. And when we understand who God is, that will make such a difference. And I say, if you have a heart for God, you're going to have a heart for people.
And I think it's really important to say this as well, because we've been accused of making Charlie Kirk and his death more of a messianic figure. And people have told us, stop talking about Charlie. It's time to move on. The truth is, yes, Charlie is no savior. He's no Messiah. He is a mere man that loved Jesus. But we have to understand that his life represented a follower of Jesus' life. And this is a time for us as followers of Jesus to proclaim the gospel and call people to live in a way that is honoring to the Word of God. So we're not going to stop talking about this, because we are calling the church to stand where it needs to reach the lost and to be an example of salt and light in the places in which God has placed them.
And he was also martyred for that faith. So, gentlemen, big meeting just occurred. I want to play a short clip and then get your take on it.
The UK, Australia, and Canada have all formally recognized a Palestinian state, defying the White House and delivering a blow to America's strongest Middle East ally.
Indeed, when you look at what they say in their recognition, they say, we really think there should be a Palestinian state, so we're going to recognize one so that it can then exist. Now, believing in fairies does not conjure them into being. It doesn't make them real, no more so than believing in a Palestinian state. But what it really does accomplish is blowing up the hostage negotiations that President Trump invested so much of his political capital in.
We can't forget October 7th, can we? Now, as if to encourage continued conflict, some of this body is seeking to unilaterally recognize a Palestinian state. The rewards would be too great for Hamas terrorists for their atrocities. This would be a reward for these horrible atrocities, including October 7th, even while they refuse to release the hostages or accept a ceasefire. I look at London, where you have a terrible mayor, and it's been so changed. Now they want to go to Sharia law, but you're in a different country. You can't do that. Both the immigration and their suicidal energy ideas will be the death of Western Europe if something is not done immediately. This cannot be sustained.
You're listening to Understanding the Times, the program founded by Jan Markell. And today we have two special guests with us here in studio, Trevor Rubenstein with Chosen People Ministries and Pastor Aaron Broughton from Victory Baptist Church. And we are covering some very important topics. And we will have an extended version as well, where you can find the extended version on our website and on all of our social media pages like YouTube and Rumble. Now, gentlemen, like we heard in that clip, there is a lot going on this week in the majority of countries in the world recognizing a Palestinian state. How in the world did we get to this place?
And what an important moment in time that we're in, where the Lord clearly states throughout Scripture that he judges nations based on how they treat Israel. And in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, it states, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. And so there's this clear mandate to not divide up the land. And this is what the nations are moving to do. But you see, as nations become more and more godless, as Donald Trump so eloquently pointed out, as they're even heading towards Islam, and that's becoming more prominent in a lot of these historically Christian nations than even Christianity, that it makes sense that they're moving into a direction that opposes God's will. And God forbid America move into that direction. One of the primary reasons that America has been so blessed is because we have desired to be in line with the will of God, particularly when it comes to the nation of Israel.
I just returned from Europe, and they're at the breaking point. In fact, if you saw some of the protests, they had almost 2 million people come out and protest. We talk about the 900 no-go zones, where if you're a non-Muslim, you don't even dare go into those zones. I don't know what you do to combat that except get the gospel out there, but they are being overwhelmed, and now they're fighting back, and they're warning us, this is coming to America, and I tell them it's already here. And if you want to know the future of America, look at what's happening in Europe right now, because we've copied and done the exact same thing. We've brought hundreds of thousands of not just Muslims, but Islamists into the country. And our fate rests on what we do with this.
Yeah.
And in Europe, they tried to fight the rise of religious zealousy with secularism. And you saw it failed. Truly, the only way to oppose the rise of Islam is with the true faith of Jesus being the Lord and Savior through the gospel. And so, yeah, this is a real big concern for us, especially when we see ourselves taking an approach that we know doesn't work. But also, you'll notice this, you will unify with groups that you agree with. And so what we see from the radical left and from the radical right and radical Islam is they all hate the Jews. So you're seeing these factions move together, which means that you are partnering with radical Islam and you are letting that take precedence in the society in which you live.
So Pastor Aaron, we heard in that clip that the UN, most of the UK nations now have aligned with Islam and they want a two-state solution. Is there ever going to be a two-state solution?
Practically speaking, no. With everything that's going on in the Middle East, I think one thing that I encourage people to do is do your homework on the land. Israel is about the size of the state of New Jersey. Where I lived in Tel Aviv, we were just 45 minutes away from the Gaza Strip. And the Gaza Strip itself is just a tiny piece of land. But remember the neighborhood you're in, too. Israel's surrounded by so many Muslim countries that are around there. In understanding the layout of Israel, most people would be very surprised when they land in Tel Aviv and when they actually meet Israelis on the street. And you'll actually be surprised that there is a large Arab population within Israel proper who are Israeli citizens, serve in Israeli government and the police and many other aspects. And even in the Israeli military, there are Arabs that serve there. So the whole mantra that's going on right now of Jews versus Arabs, when you really look into the subject, people are arguing over a surface matter that they really don't fully understand.
You're absolutely correct. There is a unity in the nation of Israel amongst the people because they understand the importance of Israel and the location that they're in and how the Lord has shown grace even to the sojourner and to the immigrant. And the Jews do a great job doing that. And I'm thankful because it gives us the opportunity on here to see how we are to interact with people, how we are to be kind and lead people to the true God of the scriptures.
So, gentlemen, let me get your take. Is there a salvation plan for Israel?
So there's always a remnant, right? I myself am a Jewish person who's come to believe in Jesus. And this is a massively growing movement in America. There's estimates by Pew Research says maybe even 19% of the American population considers themselves Christian today. There's something happening. So God has an ultimate plan for the salvation of Israel. You see, what happens is Jesus is coming back and he's coming back to Jerusalem.
Amen.
And when he comes back, scripture is very clear who's there. It's actually the people of Israel that are there when he returns. Interestingly, the thing that leads up to this is all the nations of the world turn against Israel. It says this in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, and it says, "And it shall happen in that day when I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it." God uses that to judge the nations supernaturally, in which then the people of Israel turn and repent and cry out to Jesus, God whom they pierced, it says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. This correlates with his return. So there is a national turning of Israel at the very end, which of course is not just reiterated by Zechariah, but also in the New Testament.
Genesis 12, 3, "I will bless those who bless you, the seed of Abraham. I'll curse those who curse you," or to treat lightly. And I think what we're seeing right now is blatant disregard for even God's plan for Israel. I kind of expect that in culture, but unfortunately, we're seeing that in churches too. So I think it's pertinent for us to understand, going back to scripture, what does God say? What is his plan? God has not cast away his people. He has a plan for Israel. There is a future restoration of Israel. One thing we see even at the United Nations, it seems like there is no friend of Israel except maybe the United States at this point. As we see, God is not done. He ultimately is the one in charge of this. I encourage us to keep trusting God, keep trusting his word, and there is hope.
Now, Pastor Aaron, you brought up Genesis 12. There is a movement that says that it stops there and that that was a promise to Abraham. Does that promise that God makes end in Genesis 12 and with the death of Abraham, or does that carry on through his descendants, Jacob and following?
Some people argue that, yeah, it stops with Abraham, it's only to Abraham in that immediate context. But we see that promise actually is given also to Isaac, later on to Jacob, even on, if you see in the wilderness captivity, you enter in Balaam, who pronounces a curse, but even he acknowledges that instead of cursing Israel, no, I must bless them. That's what God wants. Sure. Ultimately, God is going to work through Israel, and he has. Through the Jewish people, we get two great gifts of eternal value, the word of God and the God of the word, the Messiah. For yes. that, we should be eternally grateful.
That's exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, that this is a gift from the Lord. These are the blessings that we receive as Gentiles. We get to see the beauty of Jesus and be able to have salvation through Jesus as well. It's an amazing line throughout all of Scripture that those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And it doesn't just end with Abraham.
So, gentlemen, there's a lot of online chatter out there from some pretty prominent people that have podcasts and so on, that modern day Israel is not the Israel of the Bible. Can we clarify that once and for all?
I'm really glad that you brought this up, Ken, because this is really a simple thing to cover. And I think it's very clear in Scripture. So that when he disperses the people of Israel, it's actually a curse of God because of their disobedience. It says here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64, then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you or your fathers have known. And so the idea is Israel's rejection leads to their suffering in hopes that they will repent and turn to him. This is something that we see throughout Scripture, but God is the one that spreads them, and it's a curse of God. And so if the people were regathered by the strength of man, what this means is man, by his own strength, could overcome a curse of God. Of course, this is an impossibility. Man is not more powerful than God. They can't overcome these things. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10, the Lord even says this. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations." He's talking to the nations of the world. He's saying, pay attention to this country's. He says, and declare it. In the isles afar off, says the Lord, he who scatters Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd gathers his flock. So God says the same one that scatters Israel is the only one that's going to be able to regather them. And this is very clear in Scripture, and it's for his purposes, because like we stated, Jesus is coming back to a Jewish Jerusalem. If we oppose this, we oppose the return of Jesus.
And when Jeremiah says that, the church did not exist. And so many will say, well, the church has replaced Israel. And so that's what we're talking about with a regathering. That is absolutely false.
Yeah. When did God scatter the church? There wasn't something that occurred. This is specifically talking about the scattering of Israel. And it's clearly the context of this chapter.
So Pastor Aaron, then God promises to regather that nation and make them a nation in one day. Who's ever heard of such a thing? Well, God has. So explain that.
We think of modern Israel, it's just amazing. Since 1948, seeing Israel as a nation, yes. So it's made up of Jewish people. And it's interesting that God brings them back, I believe, to the very land of their ancestry. Also, the Hebrew language is now brought back after sitting more or less dormant. It's used for different religious reasons, but nonetheless, now it's spoken language on the street. Here's another thing I believe, too, especially for a Christian. If you have had the chance to visit Israel, you get to actually set feet in the very places where the stories of the Bible came true, which underscores the truthfulness, the veracity of Scripture. That just excites me.
And let me touch on this. I think this is really important, that Jesus comes back when Israel repents. So what that means is that Israel has to be in the land in disbelief first. Of course, Ezekiel speaks very clearly towards this, where the bones are brought into the land before the spirit is breathed on them and they come alive. And so Israel first has to come in disbelief. This is what we see happen. We should not oppose God's will. It's a dangerous place to be.
Well, Josh, we have another pastor huddle coming up. Tell our audience about it.
We absolutely do. The registration is currently closed, but I beg you for your prayers. We have a bunch of pastors coming from all over the U.S. to join myself and Lee Brainerd, working through Revelation 19, 20, and 21. It's going to be a fantastic time together. We'll also have that same week, October 9th, on Thursday evening, Pastor Barry Stagner joining us for an Understanding the Times event at Revive Church. You can live stream if you can't make it in person at markhenryministries.com. And this has been a great conversation, and time is failing us, but this isn't the end. We have an extended version of this conversation on our website, olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube channel or our Rumble channel. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming and being together with us today.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Anti-Semitism is inches away from where it was in 1930s Europe. But take heart, Jesus is in control, and he has future plans for the people and land of Israel. Look up, because all things are falling into place.